shines on the cow shed, and we're working out the play. All the cows are up there grazing, and the wind is on its way. I am a flumble player, OCC is where I play. I am a flumble player, it soothes all my troubles away. Ooh-ah-roo-ah-ray, ooh-ah-roo-ah-ray.
So hello, good evening, welcome again to number three. We made it, number three. BK, can you believe it?
I genuinely can't believe it.
It's crazy. And thanks to Moncap as well, who's my esteemed guest to my right here. We're actually doing a live broadcast. Not, I should add, from the OCC pub, but from my local pub, The Coronation, here in Bristol. Great idea, Moncap. I've got my pint here, I'll just for proof. Cheers, gentlemen.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for inviting me. It's an honour to be and nice to come out to the pub. Not something I do as often as I used to.
I'm sure all of you have been following the discussions. So I'm going to ask you both, first of all, what is your favourite cheese?
Smoked applewood, as I've
smoked
already stated.
I'm with you. Although, I think it's a phase, I will return to cheddar. But at the moment, applewood.
Yeah. Now, don't get me wrong, I love cheddar. Who doesn't? I do like a nice
brie.
I do like a nice brie. I've got to be honest.
Mild, medium, or mature? That's the real question about cheddar.
Always mature. With those little salt crystals in.
Yeah. Mild cheddar.
That's just doesn't taste of anything. It may as well be butter.
So, we've got Moncap here, as I've said, who's driven in to see us. For those of you who don't know, I don't know if there's anyone who doesn't know, but Moncap was the glorious winner of the entire OCC. Congratulations, Moncap. You do look a little odd in the pub with your laurels on, but live and let live, I say. Yeah. So, fair enough.
I thought I got to wear them until someone else wins.
Yeah,
isn't that how it works?
I'm pretty sure we all look quite odd talking from our point in the pub. So
at least I didn't have to knock on your door and ask for Ethel Red and Dead. That was
a bit weird, especially you've got the wrong door. I mean,
I know. Yeah,
I'm well known in my streets, but not by that name. Okay, so as usual, Moncap, we want to ask you about your season last season, and then we'll look towards Division One this season as well. I get your feedback on that as the current OCC champion. So, I think the first question we normally ask is, how do you originally get into Blood Bowl?
There was a shop in Bath that had Dungeons and Dragons and stuff like that in, and Blood Bowl was one of the games. Eventually, me and my brother bought it, played it, and we set up a league. There was 7 or 8 of us. Second edition, a polystyrene board, and a lot of fun. We had a pool table we put a board on, and we had 4 matches going on at the same time for 2 hours.
Fantastic.
Always good.
There were a few controversial moments where someone was about to lose, but they spent 2 minutes thinking about doing nothing and running the clock down. Someone else didn't like that. It was fun.
I can't imagine. So when was this sort of time? About mid-90s, I guess? Second edition? I don't know.
No idea.
Yeah, mid to early 90s. Before university and then...
Okay, so you start off with tabletop, which I think majority of people maybe have done in OCC. Certainly most of the coaches we've spoken to so far seem to start
that way. They've at least gave it a go before moving on later, but yeah.
Definitely. And then what got you into the digital version?
I just saw a version of the game somewhere. I've heard about it online. Oh, this could be interesting. I saw there was a real-time Chaos League or something like that, which my brother had. It looked a bit rubbish. Real-time isn't really how Blood Bowl should be.
No, never.
Does
anyone play real-time Blood Bowl? Like, does it even happen?
I didn't.
It's just a whole load of coding that they've wasted.
Did anyone even try it?
I gave it a try.
What was it like?
Awful. Just awful. Like you ended up with players just all over the place. Like,
can you pause it?
You have to pause it, otherwise you've no chance whatsoever.
And then select someone, press then, and pause very quickly.
Yeah, unless you just do what I did and see what happens and try and do it in real time, and it's just never going to work.
Yeah, I played a bit of Madden on the N64, I think it was, which I guess is the closest ever come to playing real time Blood Bowl.
American football, uninitiated, but I can't imagine it works. Sort of plays and stuff, and you only control one person at a time.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a great game.
I guess that's the only way it might work, if you just control one player.
Like FIFA, but playing Blood Bowl. But if you don't tell them what to do, they just do random things.
It's bad as the signing.
It'll
be very silly.
So, if any coders are out there, then what we want Well, none of us want it, but if you were to do a real-time football, then just one player at a time. So you saw Chaos League or wherever it was online, and then you thought, yeah, I'll give that a go. And then
when I saw Blood Bowl was there, I got it, and it's a different version, but I really got into it straight away. I think I had a knee injury at the time, so
right.
I couldn't drive anywhere. I was quite limited, so I was playing a lot of it. And there were some port issues back then.
Right.
I couldn't arrange any. My brother got the game as well, and we tried to play.
Very nice.
I just couldn't do it. So I thought about joining a league, but I just thought it's not going to work. I can't reliably connect to anyone. So I just matchmade. I played Skaven mainly back then.
Uh-huh.
And then I moved somewhere else where I didn't have a reliable internet connection, so
right.
Just forgot about it again.
Okay. And then how did you discover the OCC?
I moved somewhere with a reliable connection again, and by this time I think things seemed to connect much better, and I think I saw someone chatting about it, found a website. I believe PitPad's relegation diagram where there's escape route and all kinds of weirdness going on for a couple of minutes, and then applied and went from there.
Cool. So which season was that?
We were in the same division in 7C.
Wow. And you've won it and I have not. This is terrible.
Was that your first team?
With Skaven.
Meatball Teasers.
That was not my first team, that was my second team.
That's the season I joined. So
I've been in OCC longer than you. Crazy.
How long have you been in?
What season was that? Do you remember?
I think I played Skaven for 2 seasons before switching.
It was 17 or 18, I think.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I had...
Hang on, 17 or 18? I'm not sure I've been playing Maltesers for 10 seasons. But
it's 28 then?
28, yeah, exactly.
28.
Yeah.
Perhaps we're getting old. Time passes.
This will just take a moment to think about how long I've been playing Half-Box.
Double Deck is almost there.
Yeah, it's almost so close.
That is depressing in a way, because I joined SSC in Season 18.
Okay.
I think OCC proper in Season 19. Yeah, I'm still languishing in Tier 2, but you're a champion, Moncap. So how does that work?
You have to ask PitPad.
I always knew something cheating was going on.
That's the generic answer to anything.
I think that the key is that you have to win your games.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, like if you win more games than you lose, then you'll get promoted.
Oh, right.
So well, not definitely, but that definitely helps.
It helps.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Not just fouling them. That's
not just fouling them. Right. Although that obviously gives you a warm glow inside. It's not actually helpful to promotion. Well, no. That's not quite true. It can be helpful to promotion.
It's my biggest weakness as a player is my fouling. I'm
really,
really bad.
And you won with Undead.
Necro. They should be good at fouling.
They should. That's interesting.
Sometimes I really tried. Normally I got a bribe and just forgot to foul the entire match.
That is a calm.
Oh my god.
Take those laurels off, sir.
Get out.
Because I'm a fraud.
Oh my god, I'm shocked and I don't know what to say to that, to be honest. But
like you're an elf coach or something.
Well, I have respect for you, Moncap, and now it's disappearing, but you can save it by talking us through your winning season. So, are there any particular matches that stood out at all for you? Did you find it difficult, easy? I mean,
no, certainly not easy. And I think, as most people who win the MCC, you have to have a lot of luck on your side. There's a lot of games.
If you get enough within a game.
Yeah, there's a draw. There's draws I could have lost, and there's a lot of wins that if a couple of turns have gone, a couple of rolls have gone differently.
Any other teams that you particularly enjoyed playing, or was it all just hardcore crunch Blood Bowl?
No, I enjoyed all of them.
Okay.
It was a pleasure. I got to play Dio for the first time, which went very well. He he had a Nurgle team with Claw, and I happened to outman him. Mm-hmm. I backed 3 people after a couple of turns, which was very helpful.
That sounds quite...
And after that, things just fell into place.
Yeah, definitely. I think one of the things we identified last time we were doing our podcast, Cycles 2, you were playing, was it Akirilus, that night?
Uh-huh, yeah.
And you were sort of first and second, or second and third, and that was like a really key game, which you won, I believe.
Yeah.
Was that a close game?
Yeah, it was very close. Most of my success up to this start of last season was based on my... Werewolf, who had agility 4, movement 9, lodge, sidestep, sure hands, which is controversial.
Player.
No one thinks sure hands was the right pick, apart from Dionysian, I think. Or not sure how you
pronounce it. I would say Dionysian.
Dionysian.
We've had this problem before with several coaches. One for Pedant's Corner, if that's wrong, you can let us.
Yeah.
But when I was playing Gussio, who's an exceptional corn coach.
Yeah.
in game three. Everything was going really well. I was going for a nice 1-0 lead, and then I actually went to the toilet when it happened, so I don't know if it was just really bad positioning for me, or he just made some obscene dodges, because he had an agility 2 player who had jump up, and he must have moved around the corner.
Clearly hacks. And if you weren't looking, it must be hacks, right?
And he broke the neck of Omnius, which...
Wow, that must have been a chance.
Yeah. A blow. Big blow. That was AG3, though, so, I mean...
Yeah.
Did you fire him, or...?
No, I kept him. He's still useful, but...
At that point, in Tier 1, I agree, I wouldn't fire that player. Yeah. Once he's got the ball, he's still got all the skills he needs. Just makes it that little bit harder for him to get the ball. And a bit of bloat, obviously.
I do, with his movement, I do dodge away and fly off the corner and think, ha-ha-ha! Which is fine when it's 1 in 36 chance of failure. Now it's 1 in 9 chance of failure.
Yeah.
I'm not...
It's a big difference. It's
so, three.
How many more games did you have after that?
That's in Match Day 3. So he missed Match Day 4, wow. Which is against...
Like five more games.
Yeah, that was against Errant Saints, another exceptional coach. And another game, I was lucky to draw. I think he failed to go for it. If he'd made that, he would have scored. And I almost pulled off a ridiculous long pass to a zombie and handoff, but it didn't quite work.
So it was so much fun.
And after that, Volmius kept on playing like he had AG4 against Aki. Every dodge, every pickup, he made it.
So fantastic.
Then there was another tough game against G-Car. I lost to Golem, so I was down to 2 stand firm, and G-Car has got an exceptional Wood Elf catcher with movement 9, agility 5, sidestep. He can 1-turn extremely easy, just need 1 push.
Yeah.
And I put a lot of money in to get a wizard and a merc golem, which they're both completely needed, and I managed to win, scrape a 1-0 win there, and that was a real key point.
Cool. In the season. So you put money in to get the inducements?
Yeah, I put 290 in.
Yeah, to get both of those, yeah.
I had in mind that I was going to retire the team, so I thought I may as well spend the money. And
yeah, I did see that on the boards, and I completely agree with you, because in the championship, or Division 1 as it was then, you got one chance to get to win, and if you've got some bank, then you should put it in. I mean, I think that's one thing that's maybe missing from the online, from the tabletop, is that if that situation was in tabletop, you've got a big long league as well. There's so many options you could have for that last couple of games, just to make it crazy. That I think you're completely right to put the money in. I mean, I'd probably do the same. I mean, I've even put money in for my final games in my more lower tiers, just because that extra advantage can really help.
It can make a difference.
Yeah, see, I've never put money in, and I wouldn't. That would not have crossed my mind. I'd have just been like, okay, this is how it is, I just have to play it. So that's quite interesting to me. I mean, I'm playing halflings, so I would never, I guess I kind of need inducements some of the time, but I hate it when other people have them. It's awful.
I guess so, teams like Necro can afford to do it.
Yeah. Well, they survived. Did you have a big bank at the time? I mean, what was your bank like?
I've always put money in. It's been a couple of times I've done it before, so maybe it was 600 at the start. It was comfortable enough.
Yeah. I say undead can do it, halflings can do it. I've got over a million most of the time because halflings are so cheap to replace. Yes, you have to replace them, but they're really cheap.
Yeah, as long as the tree's taken.
Yeah, when a tree goes, that's when your bank gets hit. But
I guess you never go into spiraling expenses as well.
No,
which...
never ever. Yeah,
I think you go into spiraling expenses.
Well, I mean, I'm on 1300.
It would be a remarkable thing.
Yeah, like
I'd love to see that too.
That would have to be a very skilled set of halflings. Uh-huh. That doesn't even bear thinking about.
That's, that would have to
imagine giving away inducements all the time.
Yeah. Once you
AG5, mighty blow.
Once you fantastic. Managed to get to a legend in double decker, that could be your next challenge, to try and get into the spiraling expenses.
That is brain. That's given me a new goal in
there. Just for the people listening at home, he's got a massive gleam in his eye now. He's stroking his chin, he's thinking, you can see the gears going.
Although you do need to stop the team before Marathon dies.
That is, yes.
Because all your stories I suppose he could be a ghost or something.
See, we discussed this before. I think it was with D, where I was like, I said that if he dies, then it's going to take a morbid turn. As Crumble turns out to be a mad halfling talking
to you. You don't want to go there. Yeah. His imaginary uncle.
That can't happen. No one is allowed to kill Marathon. You mentioned briefly that you had in mind to retire your team before you won. Now, this was interesting to me because I was looking through the other day and noticed that you're not in the championship. This confused me for a long time until I noticed that you were in Tier 6 and you obviously re-rolled. So what was the thought behind that? Why did you not decide to defend?
There are a few reasons. Vonius losing agility is a big one. I've been really reliant on him. I've been able to do the hybrid. If I can bash, then that's all very well. I can get ball very quickly and cage up very quickly so elves can't get to me. He had short hands and large, he was very well protected. If I'm playing a bash team, I need a slight gap and he can, you know, make a dodge and get away. I've been really reliant on him. And suddenly doing everything on 1 in 9 rather than 1 in 36, my luck's gonna run out. There's also a case of my laptop died during match day 3. Dode very kindly allowed us an extension to get the game finished. And I went to my mum's house to play it just so I could get a
to make sure it was reliable.
Yeah. And this is something I can do for one offs. But if my computer dies now, if my tier 6 tower, I can just say okay. Doesn't matter too much.
Yeah, sure.
Those are the main reasons. It felt like time for a change. I've been playing for 9-10 seasons.
Cool. And what have you revolved to?
Wood Elves.
Wood Elves. Okay.
Okay.
It was either going to be Skaven or Wood Elves. I figured BB2 is looming, and although the rumours are it's going to be pretty bad, we might switch over to it, although it's beginning to seem less likely.
It does look that way at the moment. I haven't been following the Orca-Cola versus Blood Bowl 2 thread too much.
It's got a bit bitter, I think. I think we're going to talk about BB2 a bit later on, but yeah, it's complicated, I think, is the short answer. But because BB2 was coming, you thought, I want to go agility.
I want to go someone. I was thinking about going a team that like Chaos or North, but I think they need time to become good.
Especially Chaos.
So I thought Skaven or Wood Elves, they can pretty much go straight up.
Get out of the box.
It's best just to go straight up there, smash, smash, smash. If you hang around too long, they're just going to die. And I used to play Skaven in tabletop, and I've got a love for Skaven, and I tried playing some practice matches, and I just was bad. I find Skaven erratic.
They can be heavily dependent on whether your linemen stay alive or not. You know, gutter runners will gutter run no matter what, but unless they've got a protection.
Yeah, and the linemen just...
Because once the linos are gone, then you're wide open completely, aren't you?
Yeah. I tried watching some of Uriel's games, his team Beauty and the Beast, and you know, they did fantastically well. And I didn't really get it. I suppose that if I did take them, I probably learn how to play them better, but I just thought I was doing much better with the Wood Elves. And I was talking to BJJ and Hawker, and there is a secret Wood Elf community which I like the idea of. It's a nice place.
But what now? Blow the lid off this now.
I've probably already said too much.
BJJ and Hawker are going to come.
I might get through. Well, Hawker's defective. He's a lizard man himself.
Oh, is he? Not noticed this.
It's a nice,
there's not much attention I pay.
Special community.
To my tier.
It's nice.
I imagine like some sort of Sylvian glade and you're all there drinking cups of tea and...
Do you?
Well, that's what I imagine.
Wow, okay.
Tea. How do they warm up the tea? They can't burn any wood.
Do you think the elves drink tea?
Magic. Yeah, not regular tea, like nettle tea.
Yeah, it'd have to be nettle tea. Yeah.
Or imagine wood elves though drinking maybe nectar.
I always thought they would drink wine. Wine?
Weak wine. Yeah, definitely weak wine. How do you feel about wood elves, CK?
So,
what do you think?
In
a sentence. I'll put one spot now. I didn't want to answer the question myself.
One sentence. If I had to say one sentence, it is love, hate them. Yeah. It's not as more of a phrase. I love, hate them.
Yeah, that's good enough. And my question, Moncap, is how many bullshits, elven rubbish, long bomb, touchdowns have you scored so far?
It's only been one match day.
I've scored four. I'm trying
to
remember.
Four.
At least two of them are quite elf bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, it's mostly two.
Start as you mean to go on, that's what I say.
But both war dancers still alive?
I only bought one.
Oh, okay. Oh, controversial, maybe. Tree or no tree as well?
Tree, definitely a tree.
With Moncap, talk us through your team.
With Wood Elves, 11 players are 770, so you've got 230. All the good things like War Dancers, Tree Men, rerolls cost extra 50 on top of that. You can get catchers and throwers for an extra 20. So basically, you get four good things and one of the other ones.
Right.
You get four catchers and you get three of the good things. So I went for four of the weak ones and three of the weak ones.
Okay.
I know a lot of people like the zero reroll roster, but I'm not sure my balls are quite big enough.
I don't like that. Yeah.
So
you can end up in too much trouble.
Yeah, so I went for one war dancer. I thought one tree man was top of the list. I wasn't going to go without a tree man, and I got one reroll.
I really like the tree man. Although obviously it's that loner, it roots because you don't want to reroll it, but at the same time, it just gives you that extra. Just like bash on the line, and
it really helped in the first game.
I mean, I've had games in not in OCC in another league which I played Wood Elves in where I just caged around the tree and just shifted the cage direction on the tree, which corner he was, depending on where the enemy was, and you just can't get past him, you know.
I think I have a healthy appreciation for trees, let's say.
Literally a roadblock, isn't he? I guess.
I think he really helped in the I was playing Skaven in the first game.
Yeah.
And he managed to get 3 casualties.
Oh.
And
he got blocked.
No, sadly not a normal. It's gonna be Grav. I haven't picked Grav yet, but
really? Not guard to start with?
No.
I would always go guard style. I guess grab maximizes the tree, guard maximizes the other players. So,
Isn't grab better for one turn touchdowns? For
yes,
the tree?
Certainly. So is. I've played a bit of Wood Elf in Matchmaker, and grab is useful for keeping players next to the tree.
That's what I meant when I said grab maximizes the tree. It means that when you block someone, you know, if you block someone, you can keep them next to you, whether you're going to push or not. So they still have to dodge away. And it's, I would say, secondarily useful for one-turn touchdowns because with Widows, it's not hard to get that extra chain push anyway, but especially when you've got leap, so even if they do a line to stop the initial blitz, you can just leap over and do it.
I still haven't actually done a proper one-turn touchdown. I did it with Skaven, but I had a movement
turn. So that doesn't really count.
I should have been able to with my necro team. My werewolf, it really wasn't hard. It rarely came up, and when it did come up, something always went wrong.
Well, so there is that. You can know the scheme really well, but something can always come up.
I've seen on the BB Tactics website, there's a MA6 one-turn touchdown.
Yeah, there is, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I'd like to say I've memorised it. I have memorised it, but I can vaguely look it up when an opportunity presents itself. I've never done it, but I really want to.
That one, I believe, is that the opposition have to set up exactly the way that you require. Is that correct?
I think they need 3 linemen without sidestep, obviously, right in the middle. To set up normally.
Anyone who can pull off a movement 6 one turner absolutely deserves whatever they get from that game.
Yeah, indeed.
I think that would be an instant call display, wouldn't it? Surely.
Could be.
Yeah.
An MA6 one-turn touchdown.
I wonder if the lowest movement player to get a one-turner is in the OCC. I'm sure people have done it with MA7.
Well, I mean, if you include for a teammate,
we're
not including that.
Oh, okay.
I almost did it in the Wood Elf Skaven game. There was a perfect defense, but he set up in a way that if I leapt in and pushed him, it was almost done, but it didn't quite work. I will do.
Eventually.
I will. When we went to Wales, I played BJ in the first game.
And he showed you how, I imagine.
A renowned Wood Elf coach. Yeah, yeah. And he managed to get 2 one-turners and win 4-3.
I remember the game. Yeah, you guys were both there after everyone had finished, still doing your one-turners.
He had a terrible start. His tree man rolled treble skulls of some kind in the first turn and got injured.
Ouch.
I thought, I've got this. But no. No, 2 one-turners.
It's elves, that is elves, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's elves. Literally elves.
It's quite fun being with... Although I've played him a little bit, I have an awful lot to learn. With my offensive setups, I really don't know what I'm doing. I'm just thinking... Put a few people there. Elves, they'll probably work, and it generally
almost
does.
Almost, especially in the lower tiers, I guess.
Yeah.
Not so much tackle down there.
Exactly, that kind of thing.
I think I can enjoy a couple of seasons and then all tackle bombers going to come, and
I'll be
going to play with Rogers a lot. Maybe.
There was a new Wood Elf coach a couple of seasons ago, I can't remember who it was now, but in the first game of their new season, both War Dancers died.
Oh.
I guess that was it for their season, but I can't remember who it was. But someone out there will know it. If it was you, then well done for playing the rest of the 8 games. But that'd be a nightmare. It'd be a nightmare, wouldn't it? Imagine.
This is something I've probably got to prepare myself for.
AV7.
I've had regen and AV8 for most,
for a long time.
And now AV7 and... Yeah. Nothing.
Just a quick question, when you re-rolled, how were your golems? Because
they
take ages to develop, don't they?
Were they
good?
Awesome,
or?
Both awesome. Yeah? One was a superstar, the other one had block guard, mighty blow. The superstar had block guard, mighty blow, dodge, and tackle. They were fantastic.
That's a great golem.
As well as the werewolf who I was reliant on, they were both awesome.
Yeah,
I so irritating. I hate stand firm. That's one of my
great skill.
So irritating as a hybrid coach, I guess, to play against, and it's painful. But yeah, BK, sorry.
I was just going to say that I think a lot of teams that make it to tier one championship have players like that. You know, they've got to have 2 or 3 special players, you know, whether it be from startups or just from getting a good combo of skills, you know, just over time having enough to get to that point. I mean, was that that golem has got what, 2 doubles?
One.
Just dodge.
I think he did roll another double, and
he decided not to take it.
It was a big dilemma.
Oh, no leap.
I'd love to see the animation. At the time...
that is a fair point, actually.
Yeah, that's good.
I'd not thought of that. I kind of want to see the jump-up animation for a Trima.
I was completely going to go break tackle,
yeah.
But I was in a division full of elves, and I didn't have much tackle at the time, so I went tackle with him, and it proved really useful.
Yeah, great choice.
Not a bad shout, yeah.
I was tempted to go leader, because I always like to be the one with the wizard, I like to be TV efficient,
yeah,
but tackle, and it was the right choice, it served him really well.
Did you ever score with either of them? Sneaky handoff at any point?
I don't know if I handed off to them. I think they may have caught it.
Right.
Possibly.
Yeah, random catches.
Random interception,
maybe. Yeah, maybe. I can't remember. Maybe.
The way all good agility one touchdowns are done.
Yeah.
Interception
and then a running in.
I'm much more aware on this run-through. It's all about development in the early days. But when we started, I was just constantly...
Just playing to win.
Yeah. But now I realise that everyone's going to get promoted for the first season. It's just whether you go up one or two tiers.
Yeah.
And I'm just handing off throwing like crazy. That's going to be my plan this season.
I think that's a really good point to make, because I think, because I'm on my first team in the OCC, and if I were to reroll, I've not got no plans. I think you would be much more aware about team development and getting the SPP spread about more than just playing as inverted commas for fun. I mean, you don't want to get too obsessed by it, I don't think. That'll take the fun out of it. But certainly you think, oh, okay, well, when I'm maybe 1-0 up to, well, not maybe not 1-0 up, maybe that's why I'm still low down, but 2-0 up, and you pitch cleared them or whatever, you're going to try your handoffs then, aren't you?
Yeah.
So, especially with players that take longer to develop,
I imagine,
like your AG2 players, AG1.
It's something I'm quite conscious of now, having played in UK BBL. I'm playing Dark Elves at the moment, and despite my efforts to level up the Witch Elves, I still have a lineman as my highest SP player. He keeps hogging all the MVPs, but you do get that situation where you're like, well, I need those players to be good. It's no good having a really good lineman if my Witch Elves are rubbish.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's no good having a really good thrower if he's got no decent catches to pass. You know, if they're not going to be able to survive in the end zone, in the opposition half, you can't throw them out there to receive the pass. So I personally favoured more running with Wood Elves, but I think...
Yeah.
That you can go kind of both ways, won't you?
I was planning to do that. I did get 4 catches. I did sub 1, throw it in for 1 of the catches initially. 4 catches with movement 9, you can play a great running game.
Yeah,
I think that's the point, is you can play a great running game, but then when you get into trouble, it's still a pretty good passing game, I think maybe that suits Hyals a little better, because, they're only MV8, the catches, but they're a little bit more robust.
True.
And you've got just a super good throwing game to fall back on and pass and safe throw. Like, it doesn't matter where you are, they're not likely to get that interception. You know, even if you're stuck surrounded and therefore you can't do your running game, you've just got an easy pass out. But I think with Widows, it's more about controlling the game for me, the running game. You don't have to immediately pass the score and then be back on defence.
I think I will be a staller. We'll have to see how it works out. I know
you're clearly a hardcore bloodballer, therefore you are a staller. Otherwise, you would not have made it
to the top.
Many of the top Wood Elf coaches do stall. I know Hawk is a pretty quick scorer.
Yeah.
I think Anarion, who's just returned to the OCC, he's a quick scorer. G-Car stalled a bit.
Yeah, I don't know how well it works, because I guess you do risk the players getting injured. But, it's a tough one. I think you have to look at the situation and go, okay, risk-reward. Stalling for another turn, if I lost... if I lost a player, would this now be a bad situation? If the answer to that is yes, then you score.
It is risky.
If it's not, then you don't. If you go, well, if I lose a lineman, who cares? But you have to think in those kind of terms, don't you?
And it depends how many turns your opponent's going to have to score with.
Yeah.
If they're going to have 5 or 6, most of them will make it.
Yeah.
And unless you manage one turn or manage to steal, then they're going to 2-1 grind.
But I guess you do have that chance to steal. With the leaping war dancers, you've always got that chance. So.
It depends on the opposition. If they have a quick, lodging, sure hands player, it can be tricky. Then you can fall back in the elf defence just on columns, and that can be very good as well. But at the high end,
or they are most... a
component of the Vengabus.
The Vengabus.
So, and imagine a normal cage with a ball carrier in the middle and four corners.
Yeah.
Then take the rear two corners and move them back one square, and then put another player inside.
Okay.
So now it's impossible to remove that assist from the leaping in war dancer without leaping in a second war dancer or dodging into three attack zones. It's called the Vengabus. It's a really good anti-wood elf defense.
I'm writing this down.
When we go through the tier one teams, Shurakra has the perfect players to do this. He's got three agility 5 players, an agility 5 guard can leap in, and yes, he's extraordinarily hard to
see. Agility 5 guard, that just makes one cry.
That's unacceptable. But the thing about the Vengabus is even if all you do is make them make another roll, you've made them make another roll.
So
there's almost no point doing a normal cage against Wood Elves, because they'll just come in and get at least one dice.
I've played Wood Elf a bunch of teams with my Necro, and I've just been solidly advanced with guard opposite corner. I think I played Not a Fun Hater, and he had a leaping strength 4 Witch Elf, so I had to have guards on all four corners to be safe, and it was really slow work. I was just fouling him, and eventually got off the pitch.
Obviously, the best way to defend against Wood Elves is just to kill them all.
I shouldn't be saying. I watched that Heath game, his Necro team play Anarion's Wood Elf. I had a slight moment of melancholy about seeing Necro and seeing the race I've joined against the race I left behind. A slight sad moment.
That's beautiful.
Bringing a tear to the eye. So that brings us nicely on to this year's championship, the first ever championship. We will be champ. We thought we'd have a quick look at some of the teams.
Okay, so this is the table as from today, which is the 22nd of July. So Mikko's top. So we'll look at Mikko's team first of all. So it's Necro. What do you think, Monkap? You're the Necro expert.
Had a
couple of stars in there.
He had a ghoul who died on the final week of last season, who had a movement bonus, a strength bonus, maybe an agility bonus, a tackle and block. He was incredible ghoul, but he played Bantha and I think he was surfed, but he died anyway. Which has left Mikko with a very bashy team. He has one of the best werewolves, strength 4, piling on, mighty blow, dodge, tackle.
That is a great piece.
One of the best werewolves.
Yeah.
That's going to more or less take a piece every turn, isn't it?
Yeah.
Would you say?
I'm sure he's going to get fouled a lot.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah, but it takes a piece as reliably as any claw, palm, tackle piece does. And then, the thing is, he's also got another wolf, which is block, mighty blow, tackle. There. Yeah. So it doesn't have the piling on or the dodge, but it's already got all the things it needs.
All these Necro teams, mighty blow and all the wolves.
I think I would notice about this team is it's a bit light on ghoul action. One rookie ghoul and one ghoul with just dodge, guard and block. Neither of those are top quality ghouls. A guard is obviously nice.
Guard block ghoul's pretty good.
I'd say that's the beginning of a good ghoul rather than a really good ghoul.
You haven't played many ghouls, they die. I don't like ghouls. Unless one just died and not getting a ghoul gave me a wizard or something like that. But I always viewed them as something. I didn't expect them to live. I always carried the ball with a werewolf, which isn't the popular way to do it. Everyone thinks you should carry with ghouls, but
I would probably. I mean, I have never played Necro, but I would probably carry with werewolf myself.
Yeah, I think it's the MA8 for me.
Exactly.
I also viewed them as cheap, maneuverable shields, something to put in the way.
Yeah,
they're going to die. They don't have regen,
but at least they can keep up with the werewolf that's carrying the ball. That'd be some chaff to stand in the way.
I'm sure Mikko carries with one of the ghouls. I hope he gets sure hands before he faces Churakral. He's going to be in trouble. He's got a very destructive team. He fouls a lot, so he could do very well. He's
probably the kind of piece that I have nightmares about there, with a zombie with dirty player kick and wrestle. Just wrestle is annoying against tree men. Dirty player is generally annoying. And kick, I just hate that skill.
Yeah.
Just it's awful.
Yeah, develop golems, white with guard and mighty blow, one rear of agility 4. He's got a very good team, he could do very well. If he did win, it would be the third season in a row that Necro had won. So
obviously we're not supporting him then.
Necro have always been seen as quite cool, I think, but if they keep winning, there's going to be a backlash.
Yeah, I think obviously the important thing to point out here is that I played Mikko probably about 8 seasons ago or something like that on Pseudomonarchia Demonium on their way up.
And
did you win?
Well, it was interesting. What happened was, we started the game, and he kicked to me, and I believe after four turns he had three players left on the pitch.
Oh, wow.
Something like that. And then my internet went down.
Oh, no!
I hasten to add, it was my internet that went down, and there was no suggestion that Mikko did anything wrong.
Is it really similar thing happened to us in 7C?
And I think said that he had a newfound respect for halflings.
Yeah,
and then,
they
of course,
can be vicious.
Destroyed me in the replay.
But, yeah. So a technical victory, which
I think so.
As we've discussed before, that means if he does win, then you're better than him.
Pretty
as
much.
We've discussed.
Yeah.
So that's Mikko's pseudo monarchia. Remember the second word is
demonum.
Okay, yeah, he's played Banter and he beat him 1-0.
Yes.
Yeah, I think I was noting about the current championship is that there have been more casualties than touchdowns by a considerable amount. After 1MD, I think the highest scoring team has scored 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, sort it out, boys, but it is a quite fashion, I guess.
Yeah. So the next team we're looking at, though, is the real Chris. We get 5 stars. So it's Hawk team, 2,220 TV, which I think is second highest in the division. And he's got a goblin, which is always nice to see on an Hawk team.
If you could get an agility 4 goblin, I think he would be awesome on an Hawk team.
Yeah.
And I like
this goblin's got 0 SPP, so clearly he's new, and I wonder what happened to the previous one if there was.
I guess he's got him as an option for one turn if things don't go well.
Yeah, I think that's what the goblin gives you, not to. It gives you that option. And yeah, he's got a nice troll guard block and stuff. Kind of all a troll needs, I think.
Good black orcs, one just got blocked, the other's a ball got block guard, mighty blow, tackle.
Yeah, there's that superstar one looking very nice. 2 superstar ones actually. Going for the cookie cutter mode build with everything going the same, which I think that's fairly standard for orcs. Some good blitzes.
A couple of piling on, mighty blow tackle.
Yeah.
Pretty standard really.
And then some fending linemen and wrestle linemen too. I like that, taking wrestle on the lineman rather than block. I think that you block the Black Hawks, you wrestle the lineman, and you've got a nice mix. I'm a big fan of mixing block and wrestle in teams.
Definitely.
Yeah, there's no absolute freaks there. It's all fairly standard. Really.
Yeah, well, are there any... There is an agility 4 blitzer.
Yeah, he's movement 5. He's a tackle piling on player.
So yeah, so...
The real Chris has been in Tier 1 a bunch of times. He's been a regular there. He's been yo-yoing back and forth for a while. So he started off well. A lot of bashy games this season.
Yeah.
If he can deal with the tall players, he could do very well.
Okay, next team is Jacoby from Nurgle. So I played this team and they touched me 2-0. And I was especially disappointed because he had that awful Nurgle warrior, Ted.
Ted Morning After.
Ted Morning After.
No, Ted. I think it was recently.
Because he had one called Ted who died.
Ted Nightingale.
Ted Nightingale. Okay. Didn't he get served?
Yes. Smoke mentioned it on the Operaticast.
Yeah.
I think he had all the records for most kills, surfed by a corn team, and I expected to gas him.
Dreadful.
I think this sent him to JKB into a spiral of
despair.
Yeah, I think he fell down. Tier 4.
That's why I played him in Tier 4, post Ted Nightingale, and Ted Morning After, which is the current one with Dodge, Mighty Blow, Claw, Block, Guard, Piling On. Piled on my poor Amazon line woman. I think he injured her, took off the pin. Then I managed a gang fouling with 4 assists. Stun. Cheers.
Thanks. Always good.
So I was crying.
Yeah, team?
I lost 2-0.
Teams that do fall down the tiers and rebuild can often work out really well for them.
Yeah. Well, they keep their Ted Morning After at 287 star player points.
Yes.
And now they've got a whole bunch of superstars to back it up. So
yeah, a strength 5 with tentacles.
And a strength 6 as well.
He has had a recent skill up since this printer.
Right, okay.
Normally a strength 6 player, you get to go tentacles.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people think he should have gone tentacles. He went claw, which I in the division he's in, I don't think it's a bad thing. I think most people think he should have gone for guard or tentacles.
I think that's fair. He's already got a smattering of guard.
Yeah.
But he's only got 1 claw at the moment. I'm just looking down. Yeah, I can only see 1 claw.
This is a pestle.
So a pestle with claw. So a second claw player, always worth it. Because if you lose that option...
He's got a couple.
Oh, sorry, 2 claw players. So,
But
if you get unlucky and you lose that option, having that backup is really good. I mean, I guess 2 tentacles players, nice for line of scrimmage against another team in this bash division. Yeah, are they really going to bother dodging away? Probably not. So yeah, good. Are they going to be able to handle?
You know, time will tell. You start really well.
Yeah, a strength 6, a strength 5, and another strength 5, and a piece of nodal on the line. That's another question, I guess. The
beast's got block as well, which is always
nice beast.
He has a couple of fantastic pestigals. There's one with agility 4, wrestle 2, heads, tackle, dodge. You know, get into anywhere disabled. Yeah. There's one with movement 8.
Yeah.
Extra arms, block guards. So on paper, he's got the best team.
Yeah.
Which means he's going to be facing a lot of bribes, a lot of wizards. Yeah. So I'm sure he's used to it. He's had a high TP planning for a while.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
we'll see. He could. You know, he's got to be a strong contender.
That is the highest TP in the division. Could be. I don't know. That's definitely possible. So then we've got in fourth place the Lords of Denmark, Stuart MCC. Another orc team looking similar, but not 20 team value less developed than the other orc team. So good black orcs, mighty blue guards. Most of them.
One
with sidestep, which is always fun to see.
One with strength 5, Pylon and Frenzy, might have a nice thrower.
Red Goblin, sadly.
Yes, very sad. But that's obviously the 20k difference.
Obviously.
I played Stuart in some. There was some Rogue the NAF tournament.
Yeah.
A long time ago. I don't think he was taking it very seriously, but he had a nice guy. I think he's a good coach.
Yeah. I played him again back in Tier 4. Yeah, great guy. I got my ass handed to me completely. And he does nice fluff as well. Don't you see he's one of the blitzers does match reports.
Does
he? Erorkson.
It is Erorkson, who does match reports.
The Agility 2 blitzer is obviously still in just for the fluff.
Yeah.
That would be gone in my opinion. But
A movement 4 thrower. He's got strength 4 as well, but
what's the point?
I guess movement 4 thrower isn't too bad because he's got the movement for Blackhawks to be his cage corners, so it just brings him in line with them.
You think if there's a wood up to make sure his jaw cries got kicked, they pinned him back, he do have trouble getting
that forward. Is true, yeah, I guess.
But I've seen him take elf teams apart. Orcs, the elf teams are pretty terrible, attacking everywhere.
Yeah.
And he's well built for a bash, but we'll get to it. Mm-hmm. You well.
Interesting multiple block on the troll. That would not be my choice because it gives the opposition plus 2 strength for the block. And so, unless, especially in this division, I don't know if he's had that for a while or something, but yeah, just seems like it would make a lot of one dice rolls happen.
No. I suppose he's got stand firm block and guard. So
you need a guard next to him.
I personally would have taken, assuming that's a normal skill, must be. I probably would have taken grab myself. Yeah, but maybe he'll injure two guys in a turn and it'd be worth it.
I suppose for the initial LOS blocks that could be to get that multiple spread.
That's kind of the only time you get a chance. Anyone that's got multiple block, I find that's the only time you get a chance to do it.
Really.
I've got one at the moment. He rolled a single skill. He's already got block, so I'm not going to fire him, but he's just run out of strength skills to get my.
I'm sure it's useful.
It can be very useful.
But a god assist, though, you should have at least two dice on.
Yeah, so on a tree man, strength 6, even a normal player
next to the other tree.
A normal player next to, even a strength 4 player next to the tree, you get 2 dice. But against a normal player when you're only strength 5, it's 1 dice.
Yeah.
And most of the teams he's playing at the moment are going to have guard.
Yeah.
So, probably.
It may just be a skill he doesn't use.
Yeah,
and he's just thinking, well, I've got a block troll, I don't want to get rid of him. So.
If he's playing elves, who can put their weakest players in the line. He's got a couple of guards, black orcs around him. He's going to get 3 dice.
To be fair, apart from Grant, what else are you going to take for strength? You're not going to take Piling on. He's already got all the others.
Okay, next is Tabula Rasa Matt Hatters.
Stroud, my tier 3 compatriot.
There we go. So it's Chaos Dwarfs.
Exceptional coach. I've played him a couple of times. He's top class coach. He could have won the OCC on a couple of occasions. I know there was the season that Hawker won it. Strahan lost in the final game.
Run close to him.
He had a horrendous first game against Stuart MCC.
Yeah.
I think 3 players died.
Yes, 3 players died.
Including a very good Bull Centaur. And,
a total of 176 star player points went down the drain on those 3 players.
Which is a horrific.
My maths is correct.
Perfect.
So
it's used to being at lower TV than a lot of teams, so he's a great parler, uses the wizard very well. He still probably will do well, but
I think he might struggle now with. He's now got on the roster we're looking at. He's played another match, so I'm assuming
he won 2-0.
With 780k in the bank, he's replaced the players that have gone.
He played the Unity and
he won 2-0. Yeah, but there's going to be two rookie Chaos Dwarfs
And bought a bull centaur.
And a bull centaur, yeah. So two kestrels and a bull centaur to lose at that point, that's really hard. I mean, if it was hobgoblins, who'd care?
Yeah.
Those important players.
He lost his bull carry hobgoblin, who he had wrestle, dirty player, agility and movement. He's such a compromised player anyway.
Right, yeah.
In a way.
Yeah.
I don't like dirty players.
So I guess he's got three what I would describe as good Chaos Storms blockers. One's only got two skills, but they're Claw and Mighty Blow, so he's had that double to get Claw. Then he's got the two standard Guard, Mighty Blow, Stand Firm. One's got Grapple Juggernaut as well, so you know that's really nice. And the Bull Centaur that's still alive, it's a good Bull Centaur.
Yeah.
Block, break, tackle, dodge, guard. So you know what more can you want really? Two dirty players.
He's got a very nice Hobgoblin with Wrestle, Tackle, and Strength.
Yeah, that's
brilliant.
Great safety.
Yeah, great strength.
And going to be plenty of inducements to be played with, so
I guess
he's going to have three Bull Centaurs for some games, probably a lot of games.
I'm sure he'll do well,
on TV.
Whether he'll be challenging this team, there's a lot of very bad teams.
It'd be difficult to come back from losing those good players early on. What are the Chaos Dwarf star players like? There's that one you can have for one. He's got a secret weapon.
Yeah.
He doesn't really fit into this team, is it?
But
I can't remember his name.
That's strength 4 Chaos Dwarf Blocker. I'm not sure if he used the Blunderbuss very much.
Yeah, but would you really want a Strength 4 Chaos Dwarf Blocker just for the one drive?
Secret weapon. Yeah.
I think I would always take. Do they actually, now I must check, do they have the Bull Centaur star player in Sinai?
I don't think so.
So they may be limited to Grashnak Bakuf.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Still a great thing to have. But
more of course.
And
is there another? I've never played Chaos Dwarfs.
I have, but I don't recall ever having inducements. Yeah, they're always our team rather than everyone else.
No Monitor on this team. I mean, he's got a bank for one, so
yeah,
it must be a choice, I guess.
I would say that. Certainly at home team value, the Monitor just becomes
liability.
Yeah. It's just a loner player that you don't need because you've already got two strength four players to do that job.
Unless you get one when you're a young team and he gets blocked and a few other skills.
I started with one, useful to have, but I would have got rid of it later to reduce the team value. Otherwise you end up way too overvalued.
I've got one in matchmaking and he's got block. I think his first skill was a double, so I've kept him.
I definitely would see that as useful. But once you've got two Bull Centaurs with block and some good Chaos Dwarf blockers,
not needed.
It just doesn't really. It's basically giving a lot of teams a wizard. That is the
fair. Okay, so Kingdom of Nirvana for
Dionysian.
Last season's runners-up. Another very, very good coach. He's got a reputation for being calculating the best option in any given situation.
Right. A real square counter, as we say. That's good.
He's had a hard time with Noble Warriors. I think he's got one good one, but he lost two. I think he lost three last season.
Yeah, I can see three kind of rookie ones, aren't they?
Three level one.
Yeah.
Two level one ones and one level two.
That's going to hurt. His one player, his one Noble Warrior with Mighty Blow Claw. Block guard's going to be vital. There's so many bashy games if you can get that to count. But he is a very, very good coach, so he may well make the best of what he has. It's
interesting to see Stand Firm on a Pestigoid rather than Mighty Blow, for example.
He has Frenzy.
Yeah.
So that's the.
I guess just the safety.
Strength forward.
So
it's also got a very, very good Bull Carrier with Blodge.
Yeah. And a decent killer one with Block Tackle, Mighty Blow, and Armour 7, is that? Can't read the sheet.
We have black and white sheets and injured skills don't show up as well.
So yeah, a good team. I would probably not put it as a contender myself just because of the other teams that are in it.
I think against the Orc, normally Noble's got the advantage of Claw and Regeneration. He has one Claw, but without block on most of the Noble Warriors, I think he might struggle.
Okay, and the lone Elf team in Division.
I played Chorokra
in Swansong.
2C a couple of seasons ago, and he has best team for ball stealing I've ever seen. Three agility 5 players, a leaping catcher with guards, two agility 5 leaping war dancers with strip ball, tackle, and one of Mighty Blow.
The thing I hate about this is that it doesn't matter. You could be like, yes, I got one of them, and then the other one just does exactly the same job. You kill the 161 star player, one player. The other one is literally as good, it just doesn't have Mighty Bow and Fend. I'm having nightmares. Waking nightmares about this team right now.
Well, the trouble with these players is they're going to be leaping into bad places. They may steal the ball, but unless they score straight away, they're going to be taken down, they're going to be stamped on a lot. They may have led their slightly best existence getting this far. And if you can keep them all fit and you know, he could well. He's very, very hard to stop. Unless you've got strength four, shorthands, ball carrier, or guard everywhere.
I mean, it looks to me like this team is feeding the linemen into the grinder, and in that way protecting the rest of his players, because he's got some really good ball dancers and catches, and just a whole bunch of linemen that are not worth anything.
I think this is what I have to prepare myself
for. Yeah, so this is maybe a deliberate tactic. Maybe he fires the linemen to keep the TV down. I don't know. Because there's one wrestle guard dog, which is obviously really good.
I imagine.
But then they're all just rookie.
They do tend to die a lot, don't they? But even so, I think you're right. I think you probably, well, let us know, Jora, what you do with them. But I imagine you do fire them to
TV,
though. Distills them down into nettle tea.
I'm pretty sure they just die. I know BJJ Heroes. I think he's up to maybe 11 or 12 players, but he had 6 or 7 a few seasons ago. It's a tough life.
It may
be fun in the early 30 tiers, just dodging around, stripping the ball, but it gets tough.
I mean, I guess what Choro really wants each match is a wizard. To pop that ball loose, and then it's his, isn't it? And his defensive touchdowns all the way.
Yeah. He played Dionysian. In the first game, he is very good at dealing with Wood Elf. He's got the perfect ball carry to do it. And
yes.
And with all the sterling presence. And I think as a coach, he's got a lot of experience doing this. That was a loss, but he may well do very well.
Okay, well, good luck, Chora. It's the only elf, although we all hate elves, so I think. As the only elf, we should say good luck.
Yeah. Cool, then on to Yadi with Pleasure Max. Another Nurgle team, three Nurgle teams this year. This season I always do that. So we've got a 2-skill Beast of Nurgle, Mighty Blow, and Tentacles. To start with Tentacles, don't they?
Stand firm.
Great beast.
Sorry, this just onto another line, that's what it is.
Four very good Nurgle Warriors, 2 with Claw.
Yeah, really nice Nurgle Warriors.
Not much going on in the Pestilence offer, but Yedi was in T1 a couple of seasons ago, and it was the other way around. He had very good Pestilence, they've all died, the Nurgle Warriors have developed.
Right.
Which is probably the best way around, so the Nurgle Warriors might be able to deal with the bad shots.
Yeah, I mean, at least the Pestilence have got block.
Yeah.
One's got Mighty Blow, that's perfectly fine.
You can get one with Agility or Short Hands, then.
Yeah,
he's away, really.
He's got a fairly low TV, so he may have to wizard against a lot of the Orc teams.
Yeah.
No, it could work out well.
And a nice Rotter with Kick, Wrist, and Tackle. I'm making a sad face right now.
Yeah, that is a good Rotter. Is that one with Dirty Disney player?
I'm not seeing one at the moment. I guess that's one to come. Yeah. That one's obviously rolled a double to get guard, which I would take.
Over
this player at this point. So I'm trying to now think to myself which of these Nurgle teams is the best, and I would have to say
Jacob Beast
is the best, and then this is the second best one because it's got those really nice set.
The Warriors are really strong on this one as well, aren't they?
What we really want to do is squish all three teams together, make an epic Nurgle team.
Nurgle all stars.
That'd be good
to see.
And in fact, lost to Jacob Beast in the first game. So
just by a single.
No. When is there any other type of game?
I'd like to see a 4-4.
Yeah, well, win we all. So that leads us on to our second last team, Tross, Dark and Edgy team.
Undead have normally done badly in T1
in
the OCC. I think it's not really the case in UKBL. They've done better over there, but they've all fared really badly in T1. But they haven't had a strength 7 block tackle, break tackle mummy.
That mummy is unbelievable.
Great name as well, Ultra Killer 99. That's good.
Maybe one of the best players the OCC's ever seen.
Yeah. If that hadn't already got legendary status, they would have to get it. I mean, that is a strength 7, movement 4 piece. Who's seen the like of it before?
Not me. What's Deep Root?
He is strength 7, but movement 2.
In this division, guard may be more useful than tackle. In an elf division, he's good.
I guess
kills them all.
That's fair. That is fair. But, well, it's had 3 startups in its 7 skills, its 6 skills, so obviously a little bit light on skills, but who cares, because it's movement 4 and strength 7. Genuinely, just a great piece.
And the other mummy has block as well, and a bunch of other skills.
Yeah, the other mummy would be a great mummy in any other team, but just pales beside Ultra Killer 99.
One white's got a strength boost, one white's got an agility boost, he's got a ball with agility 4, block, short hands.
It's a great team.
If Undead have ever got a chance of taking this as Patros' team, it's the best Undead team I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, I had to play the the real Chris in the first match day, so lost that one, but definitely one that we'll see climb the table.
In the first game he played against the real Chris, I think he just ran out of players, and in the end he was just trying to dodge the mummy away and keep him safe.
Yeah, fair enough.
Which can happen. We'll have to see how it gets on in the other games.
Okay, and then finally, Bantha and Orky Bison and the Unholy Grail, a team that we have looked at before.
We have.
Still got King Arthur, great 350 yeah. SPP.
The
vampire.
Double mega doesn't seem to be hurting very much.
Who cares, apparently?
I played Bantha quite a few seasons ago, and I played vampires a couple of times by then. I knew they were tough. I had my defense all set up. I thought, well, nicely, Bantha just gazed away and gazed.
It's a fantastic skill.
Exceptional.
Yeah.
Exceptional. It's a really different discipline to managing other teams of Banthas.
Six vampires, one of which has only got
rookie one.
Two. Oh, no, there is a rookie one there, yeah. So one rookie one, one level two one, which we can't see the skill up at the moment, but four just fantastic ones. One that's on its way to being amazing, and three legendary vampires. And then a bunch of fodder for them to chew on. Mm-hmm. So some rookie thralls, a Fend Wrestle thrall, and the ball carrier thrall, Kick Sure Hands Fend Dodge. I don't know, I haven't played vampires very much, so I don't know if that is genuinely used as a ball carrier thrall. It's movement down, but does it pick up and then hand off to the vampires?
I think
there's a pass strong arm vampire. Once that vampire, because that vampire's on 55 star play points, once that vampire maybe gets short hands, I don't know. Do you then get rid of that thrall? Because it's never going to use three of the skills it's got. But
I think being able to reliably pick up with agility 4 and short hands.
Oh, it's agility 4 thrall. That is a detail that I had missed.
Was it down movement?
Down movement. So yes. That I would presume that's a handoff to the thrower.
Kind of
thrall. Probably not a necessary tactic, but it's probably one that's quite useful. You can always just have that guy there to do so, and leaving all your vampires free to do more stuff.
He didn't do great in the last time in the tier 1, I think 3-3-3.
But how many times has he been?
A bunch. The past two seasons in tier 2 have been exceptional.
Mm. Breeze through.
Yeah. In the ELO, he's the highest ranking coach at the moment.
Yeah. Right.
And one of Nurgle's biggest threat is vampires. They can turn off the tentacles. And there's three Nurgle teams here. So this could be Vampire's year. I know he's got a lot of support. Vampires have never won it. They're seen as a tier 2 team, if you like. Not one of the best
very,
ones.
Very
so
much, yeah.
I'd love to see them. He's a great guy. And
I guess the standard thing with vampires is the implosion. His top vamps have all got pro, so I guess kind of negates.
I mean, it certainly helps to.
We like vampires. They are good. They play ball well.
Yeah.
Okay, so who are you going to tip? I don't think we've ever... Did we tip?
Very, very unsuccessfully last time.
Tony tipped you, I think, actually, from camp. So, we tipped you. Didn't he tip you too?
I think he said me. He'd like to see me, Saint or Dio.
Yeah. Right.
That's just good.
Whereas we've got ourselves a 0% record recommending elves.
What do you think, Monk? Who do you think is going to run away with it?
I think it's vampires. I know he's lost his first game, but
that's a brave choice after the first game lost. Yeah. But yeah, okay.
Well, there's 8 games to go.
Yeah, 8 games to go.
Yeah, I think
fantasy
is fantasy.
I think
it's fantasy.
Okay. Cool. BK, what do you think?
I'm going to have to go for Jacoby, as well as like Team Spirit. I think that team is just ready to crush it for me.
Yeah, I've got to agree with you as well, BK. I think Jacoby has got the strongest team on paper, but I played him as a great coach. I think Nurgle can really be unstoppable. So
there we go. Sorry, Jacoby. Kiss of death.
Sorry, so do us proud and
come last.
It is very hard to call that. All, you know, as always, it's all very tough coaches.
Of course.
Proven Lateral Fantasies this season could well take it.
Good luck, everyone. Anyway, we'll follow Division 1 with obvious interest. Okay, so the next thing we're going to do is look at skills focus, mix things up a bit. And this week it's me, at best a mediocre coach, I've got to be honest, talking about diving tackle. Now, I wanted to talk about diving tackle because two of my players are Bazons, and two of them have got access to it on normal, which are my catchers. Both my catchers recently died, so I've got two new rookie catchers, and obviously I'll pick block for them first. But diving tackle will probably be their second skill, followed by sidestep. And everyone always says to me, Ethelred, diving tackle, sidestep block and catches is really annoying, really irritating for everyone. But the problem I seem to have is never getting it in position properly. So although I've got dive and tackle, it doesn't seem to work that well. So have you got any tips about what I should do to get that dive and tackle in there?
Breathe the back, keep them protected. So whenever the opponent needs to make a break for it, then you can put them in areas that either mark them or cover them. It's a great skill diving tackle. I hated it. And my wolf could dodge through very easily, but if you put a diving tackle piece on him, unless I can blitz him away, then suddenly I'm looking at 75% dodge, which is uncomfortable. And if he's got tackle, I'd realize it's 50%.
I've got to ask you as well, Monk, did you always check to see when you were doing a chain of dodges whether a player did have diving tackle?
No.
Good, I'm glad the top coaches also forget that, because I'm terrible for it.
Yeah.
I'll be there with my halfling on, so...
I sometimes check, but the more times I didn't check, I learned to check.
Yeah, Marathon is there. He's just going to make three dodges. They're all two pluses, and he's got a reroll. Who cares? Oh, there's a diving tackle piece.
It's like pass blocker. Learning to check the pass is such a chosen skill.
Yeah. The thing I find about diving tackle is that one or two players will have it. You never see mass diving tackle.
No.
The only time you might see mass diving tackle is halflings. Halflings occasionally. I've seen it especially in tabletop. In tabletop, you see it. But not in a league. In a league, there are more important things to get, I think. Yeah.
It's a really good skill. Even if you're playing a battle team, maybe you've got to make a dodge.
I've definitely caught opponents out to having checked. For me, the problem is sometimes getting them in position where they need to be. And then with the sidestep as well, sometimes they get blocked, they get pushed. And then even though I've got sidestep, I haven't allowed enough space for them to move and stay on the ball carrier.
So I think
that's an issue as well. I think I've got to really watch the other players around them so that I leave a space for them to move into.
Actually, managing sidestep, I found, is sometimes difficult. If you have a sidestepping player in the middle of the game, especially halflings, where you are, it's very tempting to block up the holes in the cage with more bodies, just throw bodies in the way.
Yeah.
But if you do that, you restrict your sidestep, and they can predict where you're going to go more easily. So
push you away.
Yeah, and chain push stuff and so on. So managing sidestep can be harder than it seems. Like, it seems like, oh great, I can just go wherever I want. But it's kind of obvious when you just want to remain next to a player, you could just get them. You can just go, I'll just remain next to that player, whilst limiting the blocks and things like that. But yeah, I don't know. I think that managing sidestep is almost a really important skill. If you've got sidestep, using it properly, because you can sidestep into some terrible positions.
Yes, definitely.
You know, if you get it wrong, you can just get it really wrong. But it's obviously a really good combo.
Okay, so final thing I was going to say. I think the thing with sidestep is it's much more than an anti-frenzy and anti-surf skill. So I think you're right completely in saying you've got to learn how to use that in the middle of the pitch as well by positioning your other players to make the most of it, rather than just seeing it as, right, well, I can't use the sidelines now because I can't be pushed out.
Yeah.
So I think for myself, that's a skill, something I've learned over having sidestep players. So yeah, definitely.
It's a massive stand firm and sidestep. Great skills.
Okay, so we've got a new feature now coming up, which is, and I hope you can put echo on this for me, BK, the So what we've done is randomly look at the whole of the OCC and select two teams from the OCC using the magic of dice. What we're going to do is have a look at each team, and then fantasy, we're going to play each other and see who we think would win. We've got two teams here. The first one is Crimson Sun, and it's Chemical Addiction, which are in tier three, I think. And the second team is a Corn team by Telford Irving, not Telford Diving, I think we all thought. Telford Irving, called the Bloodwort, and they're in tier four. Okay, so first of all, if we look at Crimson Sun's Chemical Addiction, you see it's a fantastic Khemri team. Now, BK, I think you said they've been in the OCC a long time.
Yeah, Chemical Addiction have been around a very long time. I know for a fact they've been around since I started, and I get the impression they've been around for even longer. I think that Crimson Sun has a team in the UKBVL that are also called Chemical Addiction, not very similar.
Crimson Sun writes fantastic season reviews.
Yes, he does.
Go into a lot of detail about his opponents and make fantastic reads. He's got a strength 6 team guard, he's got a lot of strength and power. My initial thought is that he would be stronger against all this frenzy, and there's some basics there, there's an agility 4 pit fight to that.
Yeah, I think that when Ethel and I talked about this earlier, we agreed that would probably be the case, which is, I mean, not unexpected given it's a tier 3 team and a team that's been higher than tier 3 and come back down.
Yeah.
against the tier 4 team that's on its way up. But what I like about the Blood Roar is there's a lot of potential going on there. You know, there's a good Bloodthirster, Mighty Blow, Guard, Break, Tackle, beginning to get the things it needs. I mean, it needs block. But yeah, we were talking about this earlier, and we were thinking that Big Dunk, the Bloodthirster, is a candidate for cutting, purely because it doesn't block after three skills. But do you wait another 14 SPP to have another chance at block, or do you go back to the drawing board, start again? This is one question that we had about the team.
I think Garcia is the template of how Cormon have done best. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have a Bloodthirster.
Yeah, controversially.
You use, you know, there's so much Juggernaut and Frenzy and Horns around, but you're not. You have to blitz with the Bloodthirster if you've got him. Mm-hmm. And you're wasting a lot of potential, and you can have some great killers and reasonably TV efficient luck for doing that. Yeah. And he's the only Cormon team I've seen be vaguely good. Right. Most of them are really difficult to handle, and he's fantastic. But it's largely due to him as just being exceptional.
Yeah, great coach.
So yeah, but we've still got, as you said, an Agility 4 Pit Fighter.
Yeah.
We've got, you know, a couple of Mighty Blow Heralds. You know, this is a team that's, I presume, come up having done promoted to tier 6.
He's gone past Block and Sure Hands on another Pit Fighter.
Yeah.
He was using his ball carrier, I imagine. Now he's got an Agility 4, and I don't know if he's using him instead, or... Is this team in development?
I think the nice thing about Pit Fighters is they can go so many directions.
Yeah. We were talking about this earlier, and I think that's the strength of Khorne teams, is that the cultists can do anything. They're a bit like Pestigors on a Chaos team in a way, because they've got that hard hitting if you want them, but you can also develop them with, you know, two heads, things like that as well. So. Do Khorne get mutation access on a double?
No.
Okay.
So yeah, there's no claw access for...
Apart from the Bloodthirster.
Yeah, that's the only one that has claw to start with.
But you know, they can develop a killer who's automatically got Juggernauts and Frenzy, so they can develop really vicious killers.
Absolutely. So going back to Chemical Addiction, as was briefly mentioned, they've got four boosted strength players. Throw Rar with strength 4, a Blitz Rar with strength 4, a Tomb Guardian with strength 6, and a Skeleton with strength 4.
No agility, so they've all, you know, picking up claws is always a massive issue. But yeah. If they get it, you're going to have a really hard time.
So they've got this Achilles heel of just maybe not being able to pick up the ball. But other than that,
who's going to add muscle to these guys?
No one.
JKB,
very few people.
Or Snurgle.
Exactly. But I mean, there's a good deal of guard in there as well. We have a different issue from the previous one. These ones are done in colour, and the blue skills don't show up very well. So I can see three guard in there, and they're all on tough players that are going to be difficult to shift to get a guard away from situations. So good tomb. I mean, I think the key for me with Khemri team is developing the tomb guardians to do something.
Yeah.
So initially, all they do is just stand there and be in the way.
Yeah.
Now these guys, and give you turnovers because they don't have block or anything. These guys are, you know, all blocked up, apart from the first, you know, the last one who's got guard. There's a good deal of Mighty Blow there. You know, if you end up next to them, you're going to end up in the Chaos Box eventually. And if you don't end up next to them, you're leaving them free to maraud around and put their guard in the right place. So I think we're all agreed that the Crimson Sun would win this matchup.
He's an experienced, a good coach. I don't know much about
Terrafall
Derving, but you know, his team's developing their kids. It could do very well. Much younger team.
Okay, great. Well, good luck to both coaches for the forthcoming season. Yeah, Crimson Sun, we hope we see you at the top soon, because it'd be good to see Khemri up there. I think we had one Khemri who briefly led the OCC, didn't they, a couple of seasons ago? Yeah. I mean, I do like Khemri. I think if they get an AG boost player somewhere, especially a thrower, you've got a chance.
Agility boost, strength boosted. Beautiful piece, and he had a great team. And I think he's taking season out through all day, but he'll be back, and hopefully he'll be in a challenge and soon.
So again, I think like Nurgle, they're a slow developing team, Khemri, but once they're there, they're killers.
It's just that fact that they're restricted on agility on every single player, like worse than Chaos Wars.
You really need an agility boost in all that place.
Okay, so it's Peasant's Corner next. And bizarrely, in the pub, we are sat in the corner. Obviously, three peasants sat here. But I don't think we made any mistakes on this podcast, speaking.
None that anyone has told us about.
So, yeah.
Basically, we're perfect.
Okay.
We say this after a couple.
Yeah. OCC Open now. OCC Open is still up and running, so it's great for your matchmaking skills. Please do join with any ex-OCC teams you do have. Now, they did and have written an epic jingle. I was expecting 10-15 seconds, but someone has written a massive one for The Life of Brian, I think, always looking for Brian's Other Life, but we haven't received it, so we can't pay. We've got a post bag now. Now, do you want the stupid questions first or the serious questions first? How are you feeling?
I'm easy.
Stupid first?
Stupid first, okay. So this is from 20 Phoenix. Have you ever been teabagged off of a bloodthirster?
Would I be the teabagger or the teabaggy?
It did say been teabagged off of, so I guess you'd be the
teabaggy.
I see
some excellent English there, 20p.
Teabaggy, maybe?
I'll go with the no. The other way around, maybe.
I've been piled on to by a bloodthirster, so probably. But it was only on half of him, so who cares?
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not sure what to say this round. Yeah.
No, they're quite fierce, aren't they?
Yeah, I don't imagine they give a playful suck.
When he posted this question, we were actually in chat on the client at the time. I thought, I was going to make a joke about Slaanesh, but I thought, well, I don't think I'd like to get teabagged off any member of the Slaanesh.
Well, not really.
So I retreated that question, I didn't say. Okay, serious or silly? Again,
let's go for serious this time.
Okay, serious one. Okay, so this is from Captain Thorek, and he says, Chaos. When to build as Bashi and when to go hybrid. Either way works for me, or doesn't, since Cyanide keeps my accounts dice, Nuffles, and Wash Drop. So what do you say to that, Chaos? Hybrid or Bashi?
I think everyone goes Bashi. I would go hybrid. I would pick two heads first, all the beast men.
That is a controversial choice. Okay.
I don't think it's the most efficient way of winning, but I think it would be a lot of fun. Then you'd be playing Elf Defense, dodge away all the time.
I mean, I hear what you're saying. When I have played Chaos in the past, you always develop one as your ball carrier.
Yeah,
two heads. Because you have extra. I tend to go extra arms first, and 2+ pick up, things like that. But I could definitely see you wanting to put 3 or 4 of those guys together so that you could make a team of guys that are capable of moving the ball very fast.
Yeah.
You know, 12 squares easily, more with gophers. But they're just geared towards bashing. They just are. Like, you know, general strength mutation is a bashy access.
Yeah, it's the best way to do it.
I'd love to see, because even Chaos Warriors are AG3, aren't they?
Yeah.
In memory. So,
yeah, there is that.
You know, they can dodge if they have to. I'd love to see
if you go in hybrid,
more agile.
You're playing a mean Nurgle team, and you can dodge away with everyone, and you can do elf defense if you need to. I think that could be fun. I might do that if I do Chaos.
See, I've got a matchmaking Chaos side, and all the Chaos Warriors are killers, so you can stand in.
Yeah.
Skills, but I have got a beast man who's got very long legs, pass block, and is it big hand that gives you another plus one
to pick up the ball? Yeah, big hand.
Extra arms, maybe.
Interceptions.
I think it's extra arms.
Yeah.
Big hand helps you to pick up, but not to catch or intercept.
So maybe it's extra arms then. I've got one of those, but in matchmaking, I'm yet to play an outside at high TV, so
okay.
I haven't used it yet. But I hope it'll be an absolute surprise for some.
I think it's
some more expert analysis from Sunk.
I think it's Sunk. He's got an agility boosted, very long legs, leaping, wrestling beast, which sounds awful.
He could be a war dancer that's been turned into a beast.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of fun things you could do with Chaos, but the most efficient way is just
bash. Yeah. Okay, I think the rest are quite serious. So, well, I've got one more silly one, which is from Doomy. It says, I've recently started a new vampire team. How do I win match? Any advice for rookie vampire team?
I think rookie vampire teams are going to have a hard time. I wish I could give some advice.
As discussed earlier, we are just pure experts on the vampires around this table.
Until I've lodged up, I think that. But really prone to luck as well. If things work well, you can gaze in and they can be awesome, but without blood,
it's
a tough start.
I guess you could build your SPP quite quickly though, by passing between vampires. They're about 84, aren't they?
After your first game, you
would want at least a skill up on one vampire.
I think for me, the key with early vamps is don't have too many vampires. Start with 3 or 4. So that you're not crippled by blood loss positioning. And because at the end of the day, you can always fire the floors and get another vampire in if you're worried about team value. But
I think it's hard. It's early hard.
Take the time to learn how to position the floors well.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
And then it gives you the rewards later on. Vampires can develop quickly with pass farm, as we've discussed, or just being the good player. Because they're straight for agility 4, you know, they're good players. So don't start with too many vampires, I would say.
is my only thing that I have learned about vampires.
Don't roll ones.
Yeah, that's a great just general piece of Bloodborne advice. Absolutely. I'd have to say.
Okay. Best of luck, Doomy.
Yeah, best of luck, Doomy, definitely. Okay, so a couple from D Von Doo. So, BK, are you going to run the quill competition again?
I am definitely going to run the quill competition again. It will be running this season. You can consider this a bit of an announcement if you like. Quill will be happening because otherwise I've wasted my time getting people making, you know, that nice golden icon that only D has got one of. And we can't allow that to stand.
So. No, that can't stand.
Yes, the Golden Quill will definitely be happening. So if any of you don't know, the Golden Quill is a competition to write a match report, but instead of the normal match reports, you must write a match report about someone else's match.
Ah.
So you must, you don't have to watch it, but it probably helps.
I'd like to see a match report when you haven't seen the game.
Where you just looked at the summary.
Yeah, someone could go abstract.
They could, yeah. You could go abstract. But the previous winner was D Von Doom, and he wrote a really good kind of commentary style piece about a match.
On this note, I love what Renfell's done. His new Dark Elf team.
Always good. I would not say that the Golden Quill will be won by a similar style piece. Write whatever you like, and I will probably I may put it out to a panel of judges, depending on how many people enter. But yeah, the Quill is definitely active.
Great. Okay. Oh, God. Rise of the Hobgoblins, discuss.
Do we have to again?
So he's with me now in tier 2. I think he's in 2A or B.
Well, he won tier.
Did
one of the tier 4s.
Yeah.
Last year.
Double promoted.
Did brilliantly.
Yeah.
Fair played Hulk now. He's clearly a very good coach. And to do it with Hulk in tier 2 now. I know tier 2 is more 2.5. Not as tough as it used to be, but.
At the same time, he only got into tier 2 because of the reshuffle, right? I mean, they would be tier 3 otherwise.
Yeah, true.
Kind of promotions for a lot more people.
Yeah.
It sounds harsh, but we're not expecting them to do as well this season.
He's a fouling machine.
Hobnail is a fouling machine. It doesn't matter what he's playing with.
With Amazons, he did it brilliantly. He took them to tier 1.
Yeah.
Taking Goblins to the new tier 1, I think it's certainly possible.
I'd love to see it as well. But would I? I don't know. Maybe I wouldn't.
I'm not sure I can handle the banter.
When I'm not there, though.
I'd like to see it if he didn't play any of my team on the way.
Yeah, I'd like
then
to see
him.
Yeah.
Being an independent reserve, then.
As a Wood Elf coach, I'd rather not go.
Okay. Next one. Controversy again from D, but the racial name for the divisions. He does say why all the haters, but I would say why all the questions? Haters, I think, is a strong word.
I'm not a fan. I see all these things, and I think it's something from the Chaos Forum, and it's just a tier 3 thing. Yeah, I get confused easily, and that's just me. I'll probably get used to it.
I have no problem with it whatsoever. I would have entered a series of tier names myself, but I didn't have any good ideas, so I didn't. That's why I didn't participate, otherwise I would have done. It seemed like a lot of people put in ideas, one was chosen. I don't understand the hate that I could say there is. Also, I don't understand why people are questioning it now.
I'm not a massive fan of the names, I'm going to be quite honest, but then, again, I didn't participate in the thread originally, but I did read the thread, and there was one idea I did like in there, which I said I liked, but I kind of liked it that much, so I can't remember what it was now.
Yeah,
but
it's not a big
thing. It's not a big
thing.
I'm ambivalent about it, I think.
A lovely guy, and we're all hanging out in his house.
Exactly.
If he wants to,
long live the OCC.
I kind of feel like the numbers and letters are still there.
Yeah.
Really, I'm in trouble just using.
I'm trying. I think Zeph suggested or squinting with one eye. That happened. You know, it has helped.
Yeah, classic Zeph isn't it? Yeah.
And we alluded to it earlier, but Blood Bowl 2 has opinion shifted. Now, I think the main controversy on Blood Bowl 2 is the alleged. We've got to say alleged because we don't. Play, unless missing a pass rock as a skill and maybe other skills as well might be missing.
The rumor last time we did a podcast.
This is a rumor,
I think it's a really bad thing that pass block isn't there. I do wonder how many pass blockers there are in the OCC. It should be in there, and they should make the game as board game is, but
yeah.
My computer can't run it anyway. I'm kind of skeptical about it. From what I've heard, it's going to be bad, and the OTC probably isn't going to switch over to that anytime soon.
I agree with you, Mark, on that. BK, you've got a slight insider knowledge that we're not allowed to discuss. But
so I would generally agree with what's been said. I think it's going to be a little while before we want to switch. Purely because of the number of races, frankly.
Yeah.
So many people. Definitely. You know, we got how many coaches have we got? You know, 200.
200.
And they're gonna all have to play 6 or 7 races.
Yeah.
It's not enough races. I don't know how the variation was when OCC first started, Legendary Edition, I believe. But
I think there was in the early seasons. It was
6.
I don't know if it was before or after Dark Elves. I think it was
8.
When I first played Blood Bowl, I remember Dark Elves coming out.
Yeah,
but either way, at the time, far fewer coaches involved.
Oh yeah, so, yeah.
It kind of less of an issue. Now we would just have tiers and tiers of books.
To go back to it would be
backward step. I think as long as the servers for BB1 stay open, I think we'll continue to use that until at least all the races are open.
I imagine so.
I'm not going to... My own personal view is I'm not going to pre-order, so I don't pre-order any more games. I don't agree with the whole concept.
Why be so enthusiastic?
But I probably will buy on day one, only to see what the rules actually are. Because again, there's a lot of speculation. But
you can get a refund on Steam as well.
Yes, a lot of speculation. And I know some people are in the closed beta and so on. Some people will get early access. But until we actually get it in front of the final version, you can't be too harsh on them because you don't know what the final version is. I mean, it could be that Passblock isn't in there now, but they're going to add it later. It could be that they've gone completely on the, is it LRB 6? The Plasmoid rules, but LRB 6 plus the Plasmoid rules completely and change it that way, which would be a backward move, as people have said. But until we get the final game, I'm willing to give them benefit of doubt, which could be a mistake, but that's my personal view.
I know they initially said that there was going to be some kind of aging rule that was going to be in place for everyone, and they listened to people saying no, don't do that, they're all crying, and they said leaks, it's not going to be the case.
Yeah.
So maybe they're going to listen to people saying other things, and maybe they're going to adjust things.
Yeah,
but we'll have to see.
I mean, if they coded it badly for BB1, then surely they can code it badly for BB2 in some way. I'm sure we've all sunk over 100 hours into BB1, haven't we?
Way more than 100 hours.
I see
the number of hours sometimes. Like,
only better by my 32 hours.
I've landed that in instantly. Yeah, terrible, terrible thing to think about.
Okay, and the last serious question, which is quite a good one, really. So this is from Where At. So thank you for this one. He says, the one skill at roll that always leaves my head spinning is double fives.
Uh-huh.
So it seems like plus movement is usually the answer, but maybe you guys can discuss it some more. So, well, exactly. So I would say if it is, this is just a massive generalisation as well, but unless it's a key position, unless it's a positional, I'd always take the movement on a positional. But if it's a lino, I'd always take God, maybe. Monkap shaking his head, looking at me like a shiny's done.
It's going to vary for almost every piece. Like if it's a war dancer, then the movement's a tough, a really good option. Mighty Blow or something. Like a werewolf, probably take Mighty Blow, although with Vormius, I did roll a double five earlier on, and I did take movement instead. Probably define his role.
Sure.
But there's so many. For Black Hawk, you may ignore it entirely.
Yeah, definitely.
It's going to vary for almost all positions.
So for me, I am a massive fan of plus movement.
As a flink coach?
As a general Blood Bowl player, I feel that movement across the board is basically the most key stat, because a higher movement just allows you to cover more things. I think that you could say it allows you to cover mistakes, but probably the best way of putting it. But 5+5 being a double, I'd have to agree with Moncap that it makes a massive difference what the piece is. If that was a halfling, I would have no hesitation in taking part.
Yeah.
Unless it already had a bunch of other things and the movement was going to make it. If it was already agility 4, I'd give it the movement to make a one turn more reliable.
Yeah.
But the Black Hawk, why would I take the plus movement? There's no point. If it was a tree, I'd have the plus movement.
Yeah,
it's a lovely choice.
It just depends. It is, I guess, only bettered by double six in terms of a skill roll.
Yeah, I mean, is there a case though you could say that you would never get on a lino? First skill, double five. You're going to go for movement, or you can go
which
for
lino?
Depends on the lineman. On a halfling, no. Why bother? 6-5, no difference. On a dwarf, no.
What
doesn't need to be moving.
is if it's your fastest piece, you should pick movement. If it's not, yeah. I would probably
take movement on a witch elf.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, equal fastest piece.
Then, Mighty Blow, Highly On, but a witch elf could be beautiful.
I guess if it was first skill, I wouldn't take it. If it was not first skill.
I think either way.
Yeah, I think on a witch elf, I would take movement first. Yeah,
really? I don't think I'd take it first.
Get the ball to her, though. She's score again, and then she's got
a tough wrestle
straight away, hasn't she?
So essentially, what we're answering to Werat's question is.
Yeah, we don't know. I tell you what, I'll have four more pints and then
mumble later. We could go through a list of different positions.
We could go through every position
and
summarize.
I'll get the list up and then we can.
How many skills?
So I believe the team top with A is Amazon's first. So okay, so that's the end of the postbag, but a good postbag this time. But we always need more questions. As BK says, we will answer any question you send.
Any question. And we will also ask it to our guest.
Yeah.
We will ask our guest any question you send.
All that remains, really, is just a shout-out. So I've just got one shout-out, well, which is to Rantut the Third, and that's for his excellent comic.
Yes.
He created his first game, which I don't think we've ever seen the OTC before.
I've never seen that.
Which awesome. I really liked. So keep it up, Rantus, definitely.
Yes, we expect one every week now.
He's French, that's why I said Trey Bond.
Oh, okay, cool. I wish I could say we expect one every week now.
Okay, BK, go on.
So for me, it's been alluded to already, but I really massively enjoyed Renthar's new fluff for his team. We all knew it was going to be good, right? But it was better than I was hoping for. Long live the Dread Tree, basically.
I'm really looking forward to a lot of entertainment there.
So, Moncap, any shout-outs from you?
I'd like to shout-out to my ex-Tier 2 admin colleagues, Doomy, Aaron Saint and BJJ. There's so much fluff that happens in the OCC that makes it a wonderful place, but these guys indulged me by doing a rap, which was outside their comfort zones, apart from BJJ, who's just a monster of fine rappers anyway.
Yeah.
So thanks a lot, guys. I love working for you, with you. Keep it going.
Well, all that remains to do then is to assume the position. I'm sure you can both back me up here, where I'm on my hands and knees right now saying, Pidpad, please. Please, can we have a sticky for our podcast?
Please, can we have a sticky for our podcast?
You know, we love you. I'll even fly to Sweden, maybe.
Couldn't any green suit do that?
I guess. Any green suit, could we have a sticky for
our... Any green suit,
please. Yeah, anyone.
And if maybe you could link to it from the podcast thing on the main website, that'd be better. But, you know, hey, that's just an idea.
Yeah, that'd be like frosting on the top of the cake or something.
Okay. Love you. Alright, thanks Moncap for coming in.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you BK again for doing all the technical sides.
I haven't done it yet, we'll see.
Yeah, we might get a bang. Little pub wasn't such a good idea.
It was a great idea. Cheers everyone. You both got empty glasses, but I've still got some left. So cheers, thanks for listening, and see you next time.
Bye. Yeah.